I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter.
Oh, it's RVD. With one good knee. Steel chair to the mush. We're back with more one-night stand.
I looked up where the word mush came from.
Right.
Because when he said it, I was like, oh, that's a very English expression, yeah. Isn't it? But I didn't know if it was or not. But why do we call the face the mush?
Why do we call it face? Is it like a muzzle or like a...
They seem to think it's because it's like you saying mouth in a funny way.
Mush.
You go, oi, mush.
Oh, mush.
Mush.
I've got Terry Brug.
Yeah, but that's it. I mean, don't say you don't learn stuff by stopping by here. Don't say it. What,
My studio? Oh, you mean the listeners? I see. Yeah. Actually, the Foley Joy thing, because Joy kind of tears up the commentary team.
Yeah.
Joy starts. He sort of tears up a little bit when he gets
in
the ring.
And what's funny
Foley
about...
And then Foley spends ages taking the piss out of him. Like, mercilessly, relentlessly.
What's really funny about that is like, Styles comes out and he does that, and I think he is really genuinely emotional. They don't think it's ever going to have happened this, and, you know...
Right.
And I think for him as well, he was always regarded as being one of the really, really good young broadcasters. He was a very good commentator. Very much a sort of like forerunner, I feel, of like Mauro Ranallo over on NXT.
Right.
He's got that passion and excitement. And I think he probably thought, if I do really well here, because he'd been out of the business, if I do well here, I might get the job in WWE that I, you know, would change everything for me. And he did.
Right.
They didn't treat him very well. He was shunted around on commentary. Vince McMahon didn't really seem to like him very much.
We should just get a little clip of you saying that and I'll just play it in every time. And he was shunted around and he didn't seem to be well liked. And,
it's true.
He did get his chance, but he didn't squander it himself.
They wasted him. For reasons no one knows. That is the literal cut and paste. But he ended up like helming the website. Waste of a talent. And when that went well, I think they gave it to Shane McMahon and then moved Joey onto something else.
Right.
But he cries in this, and when he comes in, he is so emotional about the whole thing. But I've never seen anyone get emotional in a less convincing, genuine fashion. So he looks like someone who's trying to look emotional.
Yeah.
But I think he genuinely is. It's like that old Rob Newman character about the man who couldn't speak without sounding sarcastic.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very much like that, where Joey Styles is the man who can't be emotional without looking like he's putting it on.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor
Joey Styles.
Glad I didn't bring my wife tonight. Guy's a wife stealer. The anti-ECW Raw contingent have arrived.
Yes.
And in comes Edge. Have you dug into why everyone is calling Edge a wife stealer?
No. I presumed it was an on TV screen story.
Yes, it was.
Right.
And also, no, it wasn't. What happened is that Edge had a fling with Lita,
yes,
who was the long-term girlfriend of Matt Hardy, real life.
Right.
And when Matt Hardy found out, he was very upset.
Mm.
So I think he was at the time rehabbing an injury at home. So what the WWE did was obviously with this sort of awkward... you know, triangle, really.
Mm.
They rang up Matt Hardy and fired him.
Wow.
And what happened here
is... You want that on your dollar, dear?
No. And what happened here was there was a big outcry about it, really, internally. And the fans, at this point, the internet is really big. Wrestling news is all over the internet. Mm. It's no longer the chat rooms that it used to be. There are wrestling news sites. There are wrestling websites. You get daily updates. Mm. And this story breaks and it becomes huge. The basic story is that I think Edge and Lita had had a fling. He was married. He'd left a message on her phone saying, along the lines of, we should probably talk about this, but let's not be too hasty. Mm. And she'd gone home to be with Matt Hardy for 3 days, and she'd fallen asleep. And I think her phone went, and he went to get it up, and he thought, oh, God, I've missed a call. I'll find out what it is. And there was the message.
Right.
So Edge's wife then found out, and it was an absolute fucking disaster for everyone.
Oh, God.
Matt Hardy was then fired, as I say, for being unprofessional in some way.
Listening to his wife's messages.
What was very clear...
Hi, Edge here. Leah, don't... whoever's listening to this, if it's not you, you are legally not allowed to listen to anything past this. Beep.
And you can't get upset. Bye. The reason about this was Edge was becoming a big star, and he was very much destined for the top. Right. And Matt Hardy was lower down, and they just went, oh, well, let's get rid of Matt Hardy. Mm. But the online community became very, very excited by this whole story.
Yeah.
And Matt Hardy began doing lots of stuff online about it. He began spilling his guts. And very quickly, it became apparent that this was, while all a very upsetting scenario for all involved, a big money-making opportunity. So
they made the telephone love chair match.
Yeah. Well, what happened is Lita talks about this because she does get asked about it from time to time, and she talks about, I mean, I think all three of them really, but they talk about how awful the whole thing was. She was saying, you know, I came to work and they basically said, okay, so we want to bring Matt back and we want to do a program about this. And she was like, I really didn't want to do anything, but he'd lost his job. And it was no fault of his own.
Right.
And so they said, we agreed to do it really so that he could come back and, you know, and keep doing his job. The WWE, credit to them, they didn't go, there are two ways to do this, and one is that we play it up a bit. Or they went, do you know what? This is so raw and exciting, let's just let them get at it. And what they had is a show called Bite This, and it was an early internet show. And nobody, B-Y-T-E, Bite This.
So a web-based thing.
I think it's a sort of slight pun on suck it.
Or if you're getting an operation in like the past, they'd give you something like a thing to bite down on it. Bite this. It was sort of being bummed.
It was just like interviews. I mean, but they brought in Lita,
right.
And they decided to have, I think, you know, one of the first sort of the confrontations between them. So Matt Hardy was brought back in. What happens in this pay-per-view, everyone is chanting at Edge, wife stealer, that sort of thing. They begin chanting, you screwed Matt, you screwed Matt. Twist on the you screwed Brett that El Hebner used to get.
Right.
They at one point
if
begin
only
chanting,
I screwed Matt.
You've got herpes at Edge. And so Edge...
Less helpful.
The incredible thing about this is, out of this personal, awkward tragedy...
It makes me feel sick, this.
Edge became a massive A-lister. The only person who you could see really had real difficulty with this, apart from Matt Hardy, was Lita. And you could tell she was very uncomfortable with basically 2 years of her career, where she was it's so awful. But
I cannot imagine what is going through everyone's head at this point.
Exactly. So the crowd have chanted it. Later on, Paul Heyman addresses something to Edge about it, and the fans start chanting, we want Matt. And that's really the moment where they go, okay, yeah, let's pull the trigger on this.
Right, okay.
So this is going to be a tiny bit of a diversion. So in June or July, Matt Hardy comes back, and they basically go, he's unhinged and he's coming after them. And so this is the first time we see them, and they begin blurring the lines between reality and fiction. So on Raw, Matt Hardy comes out and he begins going, Adam, I'm going to fucking... He doesn't say fucking. He says, I'm going to come to get you. And Lita, you whore, he says.
Right.
And he goes, and this company can kiss my ass. And they shut him down, drag him off.
Right,
crowd go nuts, absolutely nuts. Then they do this Bite This thing, which is, I'm not even 100% sure if Lita knew this was going to happen, but there's a phone in. So Lita is the guest. They do a phone in, and who should call up but Matt Hardy.
Oh.
And bear in mind, this is a like billion-dollar company on the stock exchange who are using two of their employees' real-life thing to go, let's do a storyline out of it. And honestly, sometimes they're doing storyline and sometimes they're not. And all of it is absolutely excruciating.
We have another caller on the line. If you could please state your name and your question, please.
Hey, Amy. This is Matt Hardy. If you need a little confirmation to prove it, how about the same place where I showed up and embarrassed you this Monday night in Newark? Newark is also the same place you told me you loved me, Amy. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
The first time. You need more confirmation?
No, Matt. Go ahead. What's up?
Believe me, your life is only starting to become miserable. And Adam Copeland, your boyfriend, the love of your life, his life is only starting to become miserable. Because Monday was the very first day in my movement. And my movement will be to get retribution on you and against that piece of feces, Adam Copeland, and against the WWE, more specifically the office of the WWE, Johnny Ace, and all the other that fired me.
That's great. Are you done with your wrestling promo that you just cut?
Oh, no, actually I'm not. I've got plenty more wrestling promos to do. So go ahead. Why don't you tell me exactly? Why is it you're more in love with Adam Copeland than me? Why did you throw away 6 good years? Why'd you flush that down the drain?
Matt,
especially considering this guy has been married twice and he's run over every woman he's been with, what makes you think you're so special? What makes you think you're different?
I don't know that I need to tell you about my relationship with...
I think you owe it to me considering I've given you 6 good years of my life and I probably loved you more than anyone else would love you.
No, I'm saying I don't think that I owe you an explanation of my relationship with Edge. Although I can tell you about why I don't want to be with you. You cutting wrestling promos in a personal context could be one excuse that I could tell you.
Okay, great. Well, you know, you are the reason that I'm cutting wrestling promos, and you are the reason why I showed up Monday night, and you are the reason all this began.
And I don't understand why that's my issue, that you've chose to act out this breakup that happens every day, just not on camera and not in a public forum, that you've chose to act out this way.
Well, the reason why it's public is because we're public people. We're public wrestling celebrities. And of course you knew, getting involved in a relationship with another worker, a guy who claimed to be one of my best friends. You know, they say in this business, you know, you only have like the number of friends, true friends that you have, you can count on one hand. And I would have considered Adam one.
Can I jump in with a quick question? A lot of people are asking.
Make it quick.
Do you really feel that Edge should have been fired over you?
Yeah, absolutely. John Laurinaitis, Johnny Ace, that's what everybody calls him. He's the guy who's the head of talent relations right now. I was ready to make a comeback. I'd rehabbed. I was supposed to be out 8 to 9 months with my left knee. I had it totally reconstructed. I was ready to come back in 6 months because I busted my ass to rehab my injury and come back for a wrestling company that I love with everything I am, that I've sacrificed everything I've had over the last 7 years. And I was ready to come back. I was in Greenville, South Carolina, working out. I was in the ring actually working out with one of my buddies, Crazy K, and I got a phone call from Johnny Ace. And at this point he said, well, Matt, just want to tell you, he said, we're going to have to release you. Creative really doesn't have anything for you. We don't have anything. I was going, Johnny, I don't buy into that. You're telling me this doesn't have anything to do with my situation? No, it doesn't have anything to do with my situation, not at all. And one, I think Johnny Ace has a personal vendetta against me. And two, considering I was the guy that was the victim of this whole thing, I mean, Adam Copeland was a guy that was married. He was committing adultery, having an affair with my girlfriend. Those two were in the wrong. And the company, the WWE, was going to endorse that and fire me while I was at home with an injury? That is absolute How can that be justified? The thing is, Adam Copeland, the Edge, that's the guy that should have been fired. They should have sent him home, and they maybe should have sent you home too, Amy, especially with the way you are. The whole reason, I think Monday night I came out there, and I called him Adam because that's all I know him as. And I didn't even call you Amy because the Amy Dumas I know, that girl, she's dead. She's gone. Lita's all I know. This hanging out with Edge, that's all I know now. I don't even know who Amy Dumas is anymore.
Mummy, is Doink going to be coming out soon? Honestly. Now, I've edited that down. It's 15 minutes of listening to a couple breaking up.
No.
It's so awful.
I'm not doing this anymore. Fucking hell, mate.
It's absolutely horrifying. It's like listening to that thing where they go, this was the last recording that they made. It's a 911 call. It's so awful.
Oh, no, Mark.
Legitimate official WWE programming.
It's disgusting.
Not a thing that was put out by someone who was like, we got them together in a room, let's see the sparks fly. This was, they were basically going, we're not going to have like The Rock do a promo today because we want to get this bit where Lita, Amy Dumas, meets her old ex-boyfriend. And they walk a very thin line between going...
There's no thin line, there's nothing there.
Do you know what it is? He starts doing the wrestling thing and I go, because that's a pro. Okay, I'm going to get my retribution. And she goes, oh... Well done with your little wrestling promo.
We're on the fucking telly, my love.
Fucking hell.
Leo, we're on the fucking telly.
I'm the one who got done over, you prick.
I'm the one trying to be professional.
Fuck
in a professional
me.
Capacity.
Shh.
Had she not been told that he was, you know, that this was, he was getting paid, presumably he was getting paid for this.
Yes, but do you know what? Do you know what the terrible thing is? They bring him back and he's like, yeah, I'm happy to do this. And I think they were like, I don't want to do this, but otherwise I don't know what he does, so I've got to do it. And you go, oh, you, what a nightmare. Do you know what, though? At least with that, it's like, well, it's just, you know, it's just the two of them and it's just awful and everything. But I mean, imagine listening to that and going, do you know what will make this better, right? Let's get Edge involved as well. And let's do another one a week later. Everyone's had time to calm down. It's all in the past. We've all had a right laugh. We can all get over it. Honestly, if you see this video, if you ever see this video, I have never, ever, ever seen a woman on television look sadder than Lita does through this. Honestly, you look at it and you go, I've just lost 10 years of my life.
What do you do?
Because I'm so sad.
I'm
so sad. It gets much better. This is the second one they did a week later.
Well, see, I'll tell you this. When we get in SummerSlam, Adam, there's not going to be any writers that can stop me. There's not going to be any agents that can stop me. There's not going to be a McMahon that can stop me.
You're cutting a promo right now.
Great. Adam, I talk in wrestling promos. But when we get in there, my fist is going to
talk
exactly, to your face.
Yeah, because your life is wrestling, and that's it. You can't separate. Like I said before, you just proved my point, dumbass.
Let me tell you a little something about life. What about when you were out hurt with your broke neck as we were friends, and I called you every week, Adam? Are you okay, dude? If there's anything I can do, please let me know.
Yeah, like I said, definitely.
And week in and week out.
No,
but when I was out hurt, you stupid bastard, you lying coward, what did you do? You did everything you could do to get inside my girl's head and inside her pants.
Yeah, I
really,
I
thanks
pounced.
For repaying
yeah,
so well.
I waited for
what
you
a great
to
friend.
Leave, Matt. No.
What a class
you couldn't
act.
Supply
you're
what a real man
you're a
needs
piece of
to
trash.
Supply. You can't do it.
You're a scumbag,
you're a little
Adam.
Boy. Plain and simple.
And you just talked about Matt talking and wrestling promos. What was your reaction when you heard Matt say that he wouldn't be offended if you died in a car accident?
Well, I think that says the kind of person Matt Hardy is right there. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Never have. And
oh,
I'm
you're
not.
Far from perfect.
I will continue to make mistakes the rest of my life. That's what human beings do. That's not to brush off what happened. That's a mistake. Granted, it's not a mistake that I'm sitting beside her right now, though. So you ask about what I think about someone saying they want me to die in a car accident. The only reason I can think that someone would say that is, number one, they need to get a life. Number two, they don't want to face me at SummerSlam. Plain and simple. That's all there is to it. If you say that, you see, I want you to be safe. I said it last Monday. Strap your seatbelt in tight. Take care of yourself. I want it to come to SummerSlam.
Sure
this
you
Sunday, I want you and I face to face. I want everyone
sure
to see
you
it.
Do,
you put everything out there for everyone to talk about. Now they can see us go at it. No one to get in between, just you and me.
And I cannot wait.
Oh, you know what? You can't wait, but guess what? Here's a little analogy for you. I'm Bill Gates. You're the hobo on the side of the street with a cardboard sign saying, we'll wrestle for food. That's the difference between you and me.
Okay, Edge. You're the greatest.
You know what? SummerSlam.
You're the greatest.
SummerSlam, it's time to nut up or finally shut the f*** up.
Oh, and they're walking off.
Well, Matt, what's your reaction? What's going to happen at SummerSlam? I guess the stage is all yours now.
Adam Copeland, a guy who was one time one of my best friends, and now I am his biggest adversary in life, and he is my biggest adversary in life. And he can talk about how he's the main eventer and how he's this and that, but when it all comes down to it, you strip everything away, all this wrestling whore and because that's all this is whore in the big picture that we call life here. When we step into the ring at SummerSlam, it's going to be live, and there's nobody that can stop me from hurting him. And I will, dude. I will, because I've never been this driven, and when we get in that ring, like I said before, it's kill or be killed. And Matt Hardy will not die. I will not die, man. And Adam, you piece of shit, you lying scumbag bastard, we got just a couple days. And believe me, I am your worst nightmare. And if you don't believe it right now, you will. You will come SummerSlam.
Again! That's not...
Has this been the thing that you've enjoyed least out of everything we've ever done?
It's fucking horrible.
Isn't it nasty? And I forgot it was horrible until I started listening to it. And I was like, my God, I mean...
It's almost worse without images for me. It's like hearing, like, you know, just just the people gone through some shit.
Oh, it really, it's like hearing your mum and dad argue.
Yeah.
If your mum and dad were part of Team Extreme.
Which is the way Edge goes, I'll continue to make mistakes for the rest of my life. It's like,
yeah,
that's a threat.
There
to
are
any
certain
woman.
Bits when you watch it, isn't it? There are certain bits when you watch it. So there's a bit where he goes, and you tried, you know, to get into my... I think he says head. You tried to get in my head, and you tried to get into her head,
yeah.
And then you tried to get into her pants, and that's the bit where Lita just looks. She just suddenly a switch goes, and she looks as unhappy as anyone has ever looked. And there's a similar bit where Edge is like, you know, I presume this is all part of the thing. And then Matt Hardy starts going, when you broke your neck, I called you every day. And Edge goes, yes, you absolutely did. And it's just, it's a funny thing where nobody knows where the lines are.
No.
They don't know.
It's googly.
So there's bits where he's like, God, he's getting really riled up now. And then he goes, oh, that's really personal. Maybe he wasn't getting riled up because he's doing it. Maybe he's getting riled up because he's just really riled up. And
oh,
now I don't
no.
know what I'm doing. Oh, absolutely magic.
Absolutely horrific.
They've all talked about this. Edge has certainly said it was the most stressful time of his career.
I bet it bloody was.
Of course.
Did Edge remain with his lady?
Well, no, not his wife. No. He's now married to the superstar Beth Phoenix.
Okay.
Very happy.
Good.
And
she watched any of this?
But he did do.
Watched much about this, have you?
He did have a long run with Lita as his valet.
Right.
Really based off the notoriety of this, as the R-rated superstar.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this yeah. shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.
They went on to have a very famous Raw where they did a live bed show, which was supposed to be them having sex under a bed. I mean, it was not edifying. But I do look at that and I do think you're absolutely right about that. It's like the Scarlett Johansson and the shaving the head, which is you sort of go, Lita, remember 2 years ago? You had a dalliance with Edge. Well, now we want you to get into the ring and pretend to have sex with him.
Yeah, that's
your punishment.
Half the wages are what the men have, presumably. Wow.
Very true.
Fucking awful.
And out comes also Eric Bischoff with the wall, who is very much the man who in WCW was seen as being, you know, a poacher of talent, and he was never a big wrestling fan.
Right.
It's great that, like, in 2019, he's now pretty much the figurehead in charge, legitimately behind the scenes, of SmackDown.
Right.
One of the biggest wrestling shows in history. but he comes out here, and it sort of seemed to me like quite a brave move for him to come out here, because the crowd are really baying for his bud, and he has a big part to play as the show goes on.
Yeah.
Next match, it's Eddie Guerrero versus Chris Benoit.
Ah.
Bit of light relief after that Edge and Matt Hardy thing.
Well, we've seen this match. I mean, I think I've seen this match before.
Yes, they've fought each other a number of times over the years. Eddie here he's actually 5 months away from expiring, from dying.
Indeed.
And he looks in this match really tired and exhausted. It's a really funny match, this one. It's bad tempered. They for some reason, I think Eddie Guerrero went out and they sort of said that he was in a bad mood when he went out. He was in a bad mood. They began chanting at Edge things like, you know, you screwed Matt, and all the stuff about herpes. And Bob Holly, in his book The Hardcore Truth, says that Eddie Guerrero had got to a point towards the end of his life where he was in so much physical pain, his body just giving out on him, that he would be hunched over on the trainer's table all day, and they would basically give him a Red Bull and he'd come out to the ring.
Right.
And I think what you get in this match is he begins to get frustrated that his body isn't doing what he wants it to do.
Mm.
He's weirdly sluggish and he's just off the beat. And the opening bit is really strange. He just sort of, he's slow, and he gets, at some point, he sort of like breaks his nose. But you can't really even work out when it is. Mm. It's really early on. And he just gets out of the ring and he just sort of puts his hands on his knees and he hunches over and he starts sighing. And you can see Chris Benoit is doing a face of, come on, get back in. But at the same time, you can see he's confused and he's a bit shaken. He's like, I don't quite know what's going on here. What's happening?
Mm.
And it's a very funny match to watch with that in mind.
Yeah.
That, you know, how Guerrero didn't have long to go. And you suddenly actually see the reality of what he was going through, I think, and what his body was doing, which was breaking down.
Mm.
Guerrero was also very, very much, he didn't want to lose to Benoit, which he ends up doing here, because he was in a program with Rey Mysterio and Chris Benoit didn't really have a program going on. So he was like, it doesn't really make sense for me to lose. It wasn't that he wanted to win. He was just like, in the grand scheme of things, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And so I think he'd already gone out there going, this match doesn't make logical sense to me.
Mm.
And the whole thing is just really stiff and strange.
Mm.
Right at the end, Eddie Guerrero mouths, I owe you one, to Chris Benoit.
Right, okay.
And it seemed to be that he was just saying, do you know what, this night I couldn't do it. I think there's a funny sort of thing, sometimes those matches that people are really looking forward to, and this has happened quite a bit with Eddie Guerrero, especially like with Rey Mysterio, is everyone goes, this is the sleeper match. It's not even really a sleeper match. This is the match that's going to blow everything else off the card. Mm. And whenever they did it in WWE, it never happened. It never worked. A little bit like in more recent WrestleManias, AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, the match that everyone was waiting for. And it almost like, it's not that we go, it's going to be better than it is. It's something about the wrestlers going, this has got to be good, that just makes it deflate. Mm. It's a really weird thing about
history,
how the pressure
sort of getting
works
on top of it, everybody.
Yeah, entirely. They're under too many layers of expectation.
Mm.
And it's the expectation they're putting on themselves because everyone's saying it's going to be really good.
In the words of Joey Styles, headbutt that
yes,
Bernard does, he calls it a suicide headbutt.
Suicide headbutt, which is weird because I don't think I've ever heard it really called that.
No.
There's quite a lot of odd foreshadowing in this pay-per-view. There's one that happens in a match a bit later as well. And I'm not one for going, you know, you should go back and get rid of that. It is just a weird use of...
Freak.
That is the diving headbutt. That's a diving headbutt. Mm. Why you suddenly decide to say suicide with one of the... Oh, I say that. I mean, one of the two or three people who committed suicide who are on this show. It just seems, you know, it's just one of those odd historical quirks.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's sad to see two people who are this good having a match that is hard to put your finger and define on why it doesn't quite work, but it just doesn't quite work. Apparently, they were very, very cross afterwards. They were just beating themselves up about how bad it had been. Mm. And they were really, really disappointed.
It's weird sad how, like, times. I'm after being... Is it Superplex from Eddie?
Yes.
Like, that was fucking horrible,
absolutely.
Mark.
Absolutely.
One of the first ones in this where I got, yeah, that was too much.
There's that also, I think, that thing of working in a room like this where you've got the crowd banked up above you, where it's all very light, and the volume is different from when you're in a big arena. They are working very, very hard and tight, and it's really real. Mm. And it's just that it's not scrappy. It's really super physical, and it's super good. It just doesn't click. It's a weird one.
Yeah.
So strange. And the most annoying thing is, of course, is you can see them realising it, and that makes it even more distracting. poor lads. Could have been great.
Yeah.
But then, of course, you know, you get these two wrestlers, the greatest wrestlers of their generation. You know, not necessarily at their peak, but certainly not far off it, working in front of a crowd who are hot to see them, and they produce this match, which everyone's hoped is going to be great, that doesn't really work.
It wasn't like terrible, was it? I mean, it wasn't like obscene.
No, not at all. But the next match, you get two people that no one's that bothered about seeing, who have, you know, not a massive amount of mainstream appeal. Mm. They're certainly not the biggest names on the show. No one has that much interest, I suppose, in the match. And then they put on one of the best matches, not just of the year, but of the 2000s. Masato Tanaka versus Mike Awesome.
Indeed.
But that... that is for next week.
Indeed. If you would like to get in touch with the show, it's
WrestleMePod on Twitter.
It's at WrestleMePod on Twitter and show at WrestleMePod.com. So do get involved. Check out our new shining website as well.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
And you can also, on Twitter, I'll be putting up some of the story of... if you remember, when we first started WrestleMe, we had a female co-host, Samantha DeCourcy.
Right.
And I was going out with her, and then one night I read her pager. I've been out with nodules, throat nodules.
Yeah.
Been out of action. And she's tolerating it. You got inside her head. You got inside her pants. Samantha, oh, no, I still love you.
Oh, wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
It's all just so real.
I hate you, Samantha.
Was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.